Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol live on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's talk some football, Chiefs football, with this week's special guest, kicker Harrison Butker, who was one of the heroes from the Monday night football victory over the Washington Redskins. Harrison, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing very well. And I know that you've been made well aware that Andy Reid referred to you as buttkicker.com in his post-game press conference. And, of course, that comes from your Twitter handle of buttkicker87. And so let's start there. When you find out that one of the best coaches in the NFL refers to you as buttkicker.com, what was your reaction to that?
I was like, I guess that's my nickname.
Right.
No, but he's been calling me Butt Kicker after the game. He was like, where's Butt Kicker? And then I broke it down for the team. But I've heard he's kind of got a nickname for all the new guys. So, you know, that's pretty cool. It was funny. I was cracking up. All my family members and friends back home were laughing.
Well, right off the bat, when the Chiefs signed you, when people found out about your Twitter handle, you became very popular in the fan base. And so how did you arrive at that Twitter handle?
You know, I really don't know. I know earlier I said that it was a Georgia Tech trainer. I think it was, but I had my handle was buttkicker82 back in high school, like senior year. So I don't really know. Someone suggested it to me, but kind of it stuck, and, you know, I love it.
Okay, this is hitting me like in a generation gap sort of way that, like, you had a Twitter handle in high school. Like, Twitter, I don't feel like Twitter's even been around that long. So that's pretty amazing right there. Did you think about trying to purchase the number 87 from Travis Kelce then when you got here, you know, so you could keep the Twitter handle going?
No, I don't even know if a kicker can have 87 in the NFL.
Oh, right.
I think in high school you can, but in the NFL, you know, your number has to be like below 20 or something like that. But whenever I see a picture of like Travis Kelce, obviously I'm not that tall, but like I think it's me, you know.
Yeah. And I looked it up, at least as of Monday, buttkicker.com was unregistered as a website. Have you thought about purchasing that domain name? Or
yeah, I wanted to. That's interesting you said that, because my agent checked and it was already taken.
Oh,
he checked like yesterday or something.
Didn't take long, did it?
Yeah, somebody stepped in.
Somebody's going to try to hold you ransom.
He got buttkicker7.com.
Oh, okay.
Got
that there you one. Go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, so let's talk about your journey that led you to being in a Chiefs uniform on Monday night. You get drafted out of Georgia Tech in the 7th round by Carolina, and then you go through camp with Carolina. And so you go from not making it with Carolina to you get a phone call from the Kansas City Chiefs. What was your mindset like? Take me through those weeks in between camp with Carolina and before the Chiefs had actually called you. How did you keep yourself ready in case you did get that call?
Yeah, well, during camp, you know, it was an open competition between me and Graham. And then after the preseason games were over, I thought they were going to choose one of us. And they ended up keeping both of us on the 53-man roster for the first week. And then they told me I was going to be on practice squad if no one picked me up, and nobody did. So I was on practice squad, and I was really preparing as if I was the starter every week because, you know, I just think that's a smart thing to do. I didn't want to get complacent and just say, you know, hey, this year is just going to be kind of a waste. You know, I wanted to, you know, get better and act like I was a starting kicker in the NFL. And then the Kansas City Chiefs called. You know, I wasn't expecting them to call. I knew a team could call if their kicker got hurt or was struggling or anything like that. But, you know, they called me, and it's a great opportunity, and I took advantage of it, and I love it here.
And there was no doubt. Obviously, you're on a practice squad, so you've got a spot with the team. But as soon as you got the call to actually kick for another team and go right to the 53-man roster, it was an easy decision. But you didn't even know that Cairo Santos had been hurt. So how did you find out the news that the Chiefs wanted to not only sign you, but you could have a chance to actually kick?
Yeah, I mean, they told me he was struggling with an injury, and he was going to be out 4 to 8 weeks, and they didn't know what was going to happen. But, yeah, they told me I was going to be coming in and kicking. You know, I only kicked in preseason games, and then, you know, week four, I'm going to be the starting kicker. That was pretty crazy.
Okay, so you're in. You get settled, but then the realization, okay, first game is going to be Monday night football against the Redskins. So is there ever a point when I mean, you got to think about coming here and finding a place to stay and getting ready with your new team, but was there ever a point you sat down and said, oh, boy, Monday night football, here we go?
No, I think I was kind of happy that it was Monday night football just to give me another day to get, you know, used to the area and the team and everything. But yeah, Monday Night Football, it's a night game. I wasn't really nervous. I guess, you know, I was just nervous being here, but I wasn't. It wasn't really the fact of Monday Night Football, an NFL game. It wasn't really that. And then once I got there, once the game started, I felt pretty comfortable. And even after I missed the kick, I felt pretty comfortable. You know, I think you just got to learn from it and move on.
Did it help you at all that Dave Tobe had you go over to Arrowhead? I think it was the Thursday before, so you could go in there and kind of check it out, because I think Dustin Colquitt was talking after the game, said, hey, sometimes it could be a gusty wind where it's totally calm, and then the wind comes, it's a little bit different than other NFL stadiums. How much did it help you, the fact that you went in there and had a chance to look at the surroundings and maybe check out where you're going to be kicking on Monday night?
Oh, it helped me out a ton. You know, it allowed me to be able to get used to the surface, see the wind, and I think the wind on whatever day we went up, Friday, was pretty much the same as the wind on Monday night during the game. So that helped out a lot. And then just getting used to the surroundings and seeing everything and just being able to kind of envision myself kicking those field goals Monday night.
Okay, you've said just now, and I know you said it on Monday night too, that you weren't nervous even after the miss. And I think everybody who's never been in that position, myself included, goes, how could you not be nervous? I mean, after all the stuff we just laid out, you're getting a chance with a new team. You're trying to establish yourself as an NFL kicker on Monday Night Football, and you missed one. How could you not be nervous? Is that because that's just – are you just a cool customer? You don't get nervous about things, or is it something about your training as a kicker that allowed you to set that aside and go out there with confidence again?
Yeah, it's a weird thing. I definitely do get nervous about a lot of stuff. It's weird, you know, watching the replay of my kick and the commentary and all that stuff. I get more nervous watching that. And I already know what's going to happen, you know. And even watching other kickers on TV, I'm more nervous watching them than I am if I was out there doing it. And, you know, I've been kicking a ball for many years, and it's just doing what I do in practice in the game, you know. So it's just kind of like relaxing myself and saying, I've done this a million times, just go out and do it.
So it wasn't just, you know, one pressure packed kick. You kick a go ahead field goal with 4:51 left that could have been the game winner, and then you have to come back and kick the field goal with 4 seconds left that ends up being the game winner. And so in between that time, you'd gone out there and you kicked a field goal before that, and so maybe that settles you down. But as you're getting ready to go out for those two kicks, what's going through your mind? How are you trying to get yourself ready to ultimately win the football game?
Yeah, I mean, I was just kicking in the net. You know, I try to kind of stay away from all the commotion and all the energy. I try to stay calm and relaxed. So I felt good kicking into the net and then just went out there. And, you know, you just have to block everything out. You know, you can't think about what happens if I miss this. You know, we're going to overtime and all that stuff. You know, you really just got to make it simple and dumb it down to say, I've done this in practice, just do it right now.
Did it help you at all that your holder is now enjoying his 27th year in the NFL? Don't tell him I said that. It's like Dustin. It's somewhere around there. But, I mean, yeah. To have
give
a guy,
take.
I think he's kind of seen it all. He's
right,
seen everything.
Right.
But does that help you that he can kind of be there as a calming influence?
Yeah, definitely. He's a veteran guy. He's a great holder. It's just nice having a veteran around, you know, that you can talk to about anything. You can talk to about game day preparation and his rhythm and what he's doing on a day-to-day basis.
We're visiting with Harrison Butker, a.k.a. ButtKicker.com,
right,
according to Andy Reid. And, you know, we've had some fun reading some articles about your background a little bit. When you were with Carolina, there was a nice article written, kind of went back into your high school days and all that. And you described yourself, I think, as an athletic nerd in that column or that article. Stephen and I can identify with half of that. We got the nerd part down,
right,
you know, maybe not the athletic part. But going back to your days, it said you were a big-time basketball player, soccer player, and tuba player. Do you still own a tuba? Do you still play the tuba?
I do not still play the tuba. I wish I did. You know, I was hoping I could a little bit in college. I have a tuba mouthpiece, but, you know, tubas are really expensive. Maybe down the line I'll get one and start playing again. But, yeah, I miss it.
So somebody asked you, so what did you in high school, what's the first thing that you say, I played soccer, I played tuba, or I played basketball? What's like your instinct to say first?
Probably played football.
You know, but I mean, obviously they get that,
yeah,
you know, but like what else did you do?
No, I like basketball, you know, because most kickers played soccer, and I loved basketball, and if it wasn't for Division I football, I'd probably do, you know, D3 basketball or something like that. I just loved it, and I was getting a little burnout from soccer, so probably basketball.
So you don't have a tuba, but if someday we provided you one, could you bust out a song? Could you just step right in and perform? Or
I could play some notes, yeah, I think so.
I'd like to see that.
So it's interesting to me to hear you say you got burned out on soccer. I'm a soccer nerd myself.
Says the guy who was watching a soccer game on his phone when you walked in here, by the way.
It was very important. Poland versus Armenia qualifier, which I know a lot of people really care about. But, you know, my son's in that club soccer scene a little bit now, and I can see how that becomes that can cause burnout, by the way. There's a lot of time and energy spent in it. But what I was curious to ask you about, because you growing up playing club soccer in Atlanta and then obviously playing at Georgia Tech, I'm sure you're familiar with Atlanta United, this new MLS team. They got 70,000 fans at the game, you know, at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They were filling up your old college stadium, Bobby Dodd, with 50,000 fans a game. And I got to be honest, I was stunned by that. I didn't know there was this big soccer community in Atlanta. Did it surprise you? Has there always been this big soccer community in the city of Atlanta?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, club soccer is huge in Georgia. And then when I heard that Atlanta United was going to be in Atlanta, I knew there was going to be a ton of fans. And I was actually at the opening night game in Bobby Dodd Stadium. It completely packed out the whole stadium, 55,000. Everybody was on their feet the whole time, really loud. I mean, that was such a special a night. And, yeah, the soccer fans in Atlanta are crazy.
So were you a fan at all? Like you said, you got burned out on it. Do you follow soccer at all, or is that just kind of in the past?
No, I like watching soccer. I probably watch the U.S. and Atlanta United a lot more than Premier League like I used to, but I've definitely become more of a football fan, you know, in the past couple of years.
Okay, we're airing this on Friday, so tonight is the USA-Panama World Cup qualifier. Are you going to be interested in that? I'm nervous as hell about it. Are you into this at all?
I'm not nervous, but I'll watch it. Yeah, okay. I'll definitely watch it.
Are you nervous about the amount of questions Nate's asking you about soccer? It seems like it.
Sorry, I find anybody
crossed
that
the line. But
that's right.
There's nothing wrong with that. And so you make the kick, okay, and you celebrate, and you've helped win the game on Monday Night Football. What was the reaction from your family and from your people back home? Who was the first one you talked to when you got to your phone or had a chance to communicate with anyone outside of the stadium?
Probably my fiance Isabel. She was calling me, making sure I knew where they were. But she was there with my parents.
Okay.
All three of them were there. They were all very emotional and crying, and you know, it was awesome. And I'm really glad they were there to share it with me. But yeah, they were at the game.
Did you cry when they cried?
No, I didn't cry.
It's okay to admit to us. Right, we cry all the time.
I cried. So they all cried. Were they that emotional? I mean, I could see her crying, but your parents and everyone else. I can't imagine watching my son out there Monday Night Football in his first game with the game on the line. So that had to be crazy. What were they like?
I mean, like I said, I was a soccer player my whole life. Sophomore year of high school, I started kicking. They weren't really football fans. My dad kind of was.
Boy.
And now
I'm,
you know, in the NFL, and they're watching me, and they're huge football fans now. It's crazy. I always ask my dad, like, would you have ever thought that your son would be in the NFL one day? You know, and it's just crazy.
Okay, so I saw in the article that you credited your dad with your athletic ability because he was a college basketball player,
or
right?
Soccer
player. Okay, soccer player in the state of Georgia.
Yeah.
But then in the question and answer thing you did at KCChiefs.com, it asked you who you credited with the fact that you're in the NFL, and you credited your fiance. Why does your fiance get the credit for the fact that you're in the NFL and not your dad?
Well, athletically, I think it would be my dad. And my mom hates it when I say that. But my dad, you know, he had a lot of athletic potential. And, you know, he played D3 soccer. I think he could have done more with his abilities. But I say my fiance, Isabel, just because we met in high school when I was a freshman. So she's kind of been along for everything. And she's great friends with my sister. They were, like, best friends in high school. And she's great friends with my parents now. So she's just kind of been there and supported me and been there along the way.
So then you said you started kicking when you were a sophomore?
Yeah, sophomore in high school.
And so did they see you play soccer and ask you to try out? Did you do it on your own? Like, how did that happen?
Yeah, the senior tuba player was the kicker on the team, and he suggested I try out for the team. And I was a freshman at the time because I could kick a soccer ball pretty far. And then I had a good tryout, and, like, everybody in the school played football that were guys. And so, you know, I just joined the team and – you know, went from there.
There's a lot of parents listening to the show. I feel like now there's going to be a connection. Maybe they're going to force their kids to go play soccer and play the tuba and hope that they can end up in the NFL kicker now. I don't know.
You know, maybe your mom deserves some of this credit too, because she's the reason you played tuba, right?
Right, yeah. She played clarinet at my high school, Westminster, and she was the one that got me in band in the first place.
Okay, so when you say that, you know, your fiance was with you through the whole thing from high school to college, I know you were you had an above a 3.5 GPA at Georgia Tech in industrial engineering, right?
Yeah.
That's not an easy major, and Georgia Tech is one of the most world-renowned engineering schools. So seems like you got a pretty decent fallback, you know, if this kicking thing didn't work out. Was it because of the precariousness of the job? You know what I mean? Like, you're on a practice squad. You don't know where you're going to land next. Was that even ever a temptation? Like, you know what? I can go be an engineer for the rest of my life and have job security and not worry about it. Or did you have you always thought, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to be a kicker.
I love sports, so I love to keep playing football and, you know, hopefully don't have to, you know, get a desk job for a couple of years. But it's funny that my GPA just keeps rising every new article and every
right?
kick I make. Yeah, it just keeps rising. But
yeah, it was like 3.72 in the last article
I
read.
Yeah. I see like 3.9. It just keeps rising, but I'll take it.
What, you want to tell us what the truth was?
It's like 3.2, 3.3.
Hey,
it's close.
3.8 sounds like what you said to me.
Bigger, yeah.
That's what I've always said about myself. And you know, we requested you on Monday for our weekly interview. And how many media requests? What's it been like in the days after Monday Night Football? Because your life kind of changed there. So what's it been like the last couple of days dealing with the attention?
It's been a lot. You know, I'm still responding to text messages and, you know, a lot of social media followers and all that stuff. But, you know, I got a game on Sunday I'm trying to focus on. So probably after today, I'll, you know, kind of stop looking at my phone and focus on the game.
How did the Arrowhead Stadium environment and atmosphere compare to what you experienced in college?
It was different, you know. It felt like the Atlanta United game opener, because usually in football, fans aren't on their feet the entire game, and that's how it felt at Kansas City, and they're loud the whole game. But yeah, it was crazy, packed out, everyone's on their feet, loud. I mean, that was pretty special.
You know, having talked to Colquitt and some other kickers in the past, it seems like there's a really good network of kickers that, and they're willing to help each other and try to get the book on stadiums and you know, kick in different places. And so now you're going to Houston. Have you tried to seek out or sat down and talked to Dustin or anyone else about what it's like to kick now in Houston in that stadium since you've never been there before?
Yeah, I probably won't talk to Dustin just because he's a punter. I mean, he might know about the surface and what it'll do for a kicker who needs to plant there.
Right.
Because a punter's not really planting as a kicker is, but I'm sure Graham Gano's kicked there. I'll probably text him today. But I've been meaning to do that just because it's a turf stadium and you want to know how the footing is because turf fields are all kind of different.
Okay, one of the things I know you've also you've been getting pressured on social media to try Kansas City barbecue. The last I'd seen, you hadn't had any yet. Have you? Has that changed since I've seen last? Have you had any yet?
I have not, but okay. I was with a Lyft driver, and he recommended Q39. He said that was the best.
That's where a lot of people go. I mean, there's, you know, there's not going to be any bad barbecue. It's just different levels of great. So,
and it's also, do you want the nice sit-down type barbecue? That's kind of Q39. Do you want more of the, like, greasy spoon place where you walk in and your feet are kind of sliding on the floor because of the grease? You know, that's kind of my style of barbecue a little bit more. But you can find anywhere in between, and you're going to be happy with all of them.
All right, there's a couple questions I want to ask you. So we try to get the new players and the rookies, with the Chiefs fans, to get to know them a little bit. So we'll get away from football. You say when you were asked about what kind of music you listen to pregame, something slow to stay relaxed. So, like, what are you listening to? Are we talking about, like, some, I don't know, some old school Johnny Gill, that slow? Or, I mean, just like instrumental tuba music? I don't know. So what do you listen to?
No, I mean, it can be instrumental. It can be like slow R&B or something. But usually I don't even listen to music. I haven't been listening to music probably at all since I've been in the NFL. But, yeah.
Favorite thing to do in your off days, watch a movie. What's the last good movie that you've seen that you could recommend to the people listening?
Last good movie?
Or bad movie? Last movie you've seen? When's the last time you went to the movies? What did you see?
It's been a while since I've been in the movie theater. But I like a lot of, like, suspense thrillers. So I saw, like, The Zodiac Killer, which was pretty interesting.
Right.
Just, I don't know, just, like, suspense thrillers that make you think.
Go see Wind River. That was Chris Conley's favorite movie that he's seen this year. Suspense thriller, Wind River.
Weren't you telling me that Get Out was a phenomenal suspense thriller?
That kind of scares the hell out of you, but that's that's another one that's good. Yeah, I'll recommend that.
And then who would play you in a movie? I can't remember the actor's name, but the guy from Star
Hayden
Wars.
Hayden Christensen.
Yeah.
Who played the young Anakin Skywalker in the episodes 1, 2, and 3, right? Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I see it, by the way. Is that why? Because you've been told you look like him?
Yeah, just been told I look like him.
All right, final question. So for people that follow ButtKicker87, yeah, I'm sure you added some followers after Monday night. What can they expect from your Twitter account? Do you interact much with fans? Do you get out there and have some fun with movies and food and stuff, or are you just on there just looking at stuff and lurking?
No, I'll start doing a lot more on social media just in the next coming weeks after I get settled in Kansas City and everything. But, yeah, they can expect some more stuff coming out.
Where are you at in that process? Because we never talk about that. We talk about players coming in here and just playing football, but you have a lot to lead as well. How settled are you in Kansas City?
Yeah, I'm still in a hotel. I'll be moving into some apartments soon, but yeah, I'm getting settled in. But you know, the past 4 months, I feel like I've just been in and out of hotels. So
is this still
crazy.
Kind of blow your mind? I mean, yeah. we're sitting here talking about you win a Monday Night Football, and you're kicking on Sunday Night Football, and this just isn't an NFL team. It's the undefeated team that's on primetime more than any other team. This is crazy, right?
Yeah, I know. But I'll get there. I'll get an apartment. I'll get settled in.
You know what, though? I mean, you got a whole bunch of fans now that have faith in you, Nate. Anything else before we let my man go?
No, man, this is great. We really appreciate it. Welcome to Kansas City. If you need any barbecue, Rex, we know our way around a few places, too, so we can help you.
Right. Shockingly, I can tell you where to eat. That is Harrison Butker, ButtKicker.com, at ButtKicker87, whatever you call
and
him.
And you actually do have ButtKicker7.com
now? Yeah,
you own that website.
Yep.
Nice.
Well, we look forward to that. That's Harrison Butker. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.